Oh, many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound. Then all of the dead, they're gonna rise. Righteous meeting in the skies. I'm going where no one dies. Heavenward bound.
Amen.
Amen.
Good evening to everybody.
Good evening.
How you doing? Good. God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to be here tonight. Hope you had a good nap. If you were here this morning, or you were working, and you had enough sleep that you could come and worship God awake. Amen. Amen. Meet with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. And we are going to attempt to finish the lesson that we started this morning. Without going through too much of a review. The lesson is entitled, The Final Exam. It's really not an appropriate title, but I, you know, it's sometimes you have to give a title to try to catch people's attention, you know, because, you know, y'all go to sleep if I just said we just studying out of Matthew. Some of you would, but, and I say it's not really not appropriate because and we're in the last, not the last chapter of Matthew, but we're in pretty much the last dissertation where Jesus is teaching publicly to his audience, and he's given him some so very important information because he knows he's going to the cross, and he gives us two parables, and then he gives a summation of what the final judgment is going to be like. He talks about the 10 virgins. He says, be alert because you don't know when I'm coming back. He talks about the talents. He says, now while you're waiting, don't sit on your laurels, don't sit on your hands. Be working and use the gifts and talents that I've given you. And then he talks about the final judgment, what's going to happen when he calls all nations are going to be standing before him. Jesus will be the judge, and nobody can hide. And then the part that we are now, we begin in verse 34, because he gives this list of things. He gives this list of things, and they are so practical, and he tells us, he says, after he calls this group together, and he starts judgment with judging the righteous first. Yeah, he still judges the right. He makes this separation. He puts the goats on the left, and he puts the sheep on the right. And this is one time you want to be a sheep, and you want to be on the right side. Amen. Literally his right side, and you want to be on the right side. And he starts his judgment first with the righteous. And I didn't say this morning. I want to say even more about, because I when I was reading this, I'm trying to picture this going on. But it reveals so many things. It tells us first the righteous will be judged. He doesn't make us wait long to know where we're gonna be. And he puts when you know you're on the right side, you can already start getting happy. Amen, somebody. But if you're on the left side, Lord have mercy. You might not already know where you're going, but you know something is not right if you're on the right left side. Because he starts judging the righteous first, and you are hearing his judgment of the righteous. Lord have mercy. Yeah, you ever been somewhere and they call and you're somewhere and they call, say, so and so and so and so won, and they just jumping up and down and excited, and they didn't call your name. You haven't won nothing. And you watch how the other person is rejoicing, and sometimes we waiting to see if we're gonna get something. Well, this is a day that Lord have mercy, and he goes over these actions, and this is my lesson tonight, these actions. And he says in Matthew 25 and verse number 35. He says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. You've heard this before. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Yeah. Then the righteous will answer him. He's like, see, this speaks to us. The righteous, well, Lord, when did we see you? When did we see you when we were doing all of this? And that's why even this is for us. We have the word of God. We have the written word of God. We can see this information and know when we are doing the will of God. When we are pleasing to God. We can know it by reading his word. And so, Brother Gary, what does this mean? What does this mean when he says I was hungry and you feel? What does it literally mean? I want to walk through this a little bit. Some say, well, this is talking about spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst, and I believe that they are right. But I think it's also talking about physical hunger. And third, now I say think because I haven't read you the scriptures yet. I've already read some of these scriptures, so I believe it with all of my heart. We know when Jesus was on this earth in Matthew 5 and verse 6, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Notice this, you got to know this about God, that God knows every person's heart. He even knows when somebody is not saved, but they're seeking him. He's already given us evidence in Acts chapter 8 when he sent Philip down to the eunuch who had been worshiping God but didn't know even what he was doing. And he sent the gospel to him in order that he might be baptized and saved and in Christ Jesus. And we see example and example of a person that's seeking the Lord. He saw Cornelius in Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11. He saw Cornelius, who was a devout man, but yet he was not in Christ Jesus yet. And he sent Peter to him. He was seeking God. He saw the sinner when the sinner was praying and the publican was praying. He says, I'm just a sinner. And the Bible says he went on justified. Because of his heart, the sincerity of his heart. So two things happen. God knows the person who is hungering and thirsting for, notice this, for what's right. And you know what? That today, there are some individuals who hunger for righteousness. Young man got baptized this past Wednesday. He was here this morning. Michael is his first name. And I don't know if he's here tonight, but he was here this morning, and he called up to the church building, and he says, I want to be baptized. It wasn't his first time here. He'd been here a few more other times, and he'd heard messages about baptism, and we gave scriptures, and he said, and his friend kind of admonished him, says, you know, did you understand? Did you understand what was going on? He looked at it a little bit more, and he recognized, he compared what he had done to what was in the Bible, and he says, you know, Brother Gary, I remember you preaching a couple of sermons, and I remember you talking about baptism, and I recognized that I was sprinkled when I was baptized, and I wanted to do it God's way. And so he heard the word of God. He was hungry. He wanted to make sure that he was doing it right. There are individuals today who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And sometimes we hear it in their conversations that I just want to make sure I'm right with God. Those are the individuals we need to be seeking. Those are the individuals we don't need to pass up a conversation with, an opportunity to share the gospel. Sometimes we spend too much time arguing with folk who not going to believe anyway and surely are not going to obey God. I'm not saying don't talk to them. I'm not saying don't have a Bible class with them. But there are some individuals in this world who still, if they hear the gospel, they are going to be saved. They're going to obey the gospel. And he says, I was hungry and you fed me. So any individual in here, sister or brother, who's sharing the good news with somebody who's seeking the good news, oh, you are blessed. Yes, you are blessed when you study your word and you know the plan of salvation and you know how to lead somebody to Christ. I didn't say you know how to argue with folk and answer every question they have about the stars and the moon and the universe and how many people on this earth. I'm talking about you tell them about Jesus and his church. And you give them the opportunity to be saved, to be baptized. The scripture here would say, when you do it to the least anybody that's hungry, and you teach them and you lead them to Christ, blessed are we. Amen, somebody. Many of us in here right now, we've led individuals to Christ. Not that we twist their arms, but we sit down and talk to them, or we brought them, or we talk to them on the phone and we pray with them. That is not in vain. God sees that. Sometimes they're in our family. Sometimes they are nephews and our nieces. Sometimes they are cousins. Sometimes they are pastor, whoever they might be. And we teach them the word of God because they have a hunger inside and want to make sure they're doing God's will. We are blessed. Yeah, God sees it. He knows it. And some of us, we need to get on that team in here. See, some of us, we've been in the church long enough, and we saw a lot of folk get baptized. Some of us have just resolved. We retired from teaching anybody the gospel. We don't even talk about it. We go, well, I've been in the church. You've been in the church so long that we just think, well, you know, I did what I did when I did it. You remember what's on the, you remember what's on the final. Yeah, you remember what's, see, and I say the final, but Jesus gave the questions and the answers before he left here. So it's not a final exam. He gives us all the tests, gave us all the tests before he left the world. Yeah. And so he says, blessed are those. He said, I was hungry and I was thirsty and you gave me food and you gave me drink. We need to arm ourselves, prepare ourselves to be able to teach others the Lord about the gospel. Amen. Yeah, do it in love. Don't get scared and try to teach them the whole Bible. Just teach them what they must do to be saved. Yeah, you can study with them later. You can show them in the Bible where we don't call the minister reverend. You can show them that later on after they saved. Amen, somebody? Yeah. And it also is talking about physical hunger. It's also talking about physical hunger. There are many places in the Bible that you notice Matthew 15:32, 15:30. Everybody all right? Are you looking at me like I'm gonna preach all night? I might. I haven't been in a couple of weeks, so I might. And Jesus called his disciples to him. He called his disciples and said, "I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat." And I do not want to send them away hungry. That's not a metaphor. That's not talking about the word. That's not talking about the word, the inspired word. Jesus says, I just feel for them because they're hungry. And for they might faint on the way. Listen, God sees, no, he knows our heart. He knows which one of us have compassion and which ones don't. Some folk don't care about, if they hungry, they hungry. Get them something to eat. But God, he wants his saints to care about people. And he leaves us this example in the word of God that we need to care about the physical needs of people. Amen, somebody. You know, now, we this time of the year, we plan in our calendar. We plan in our calendar and the ministry leaders and the deacons, the elders, myself, we're planning activities for our calendar. And one of the reasons why we need to understand these requirements that Jesus gives lines out is that our calendar activities, our calendar events need to evolve around what's going to be required of us from God. Amen, somebody? Yeah, I know we're planning our activities and planning. Are we feeding people spiritually? Yeah, sometimes in the church, I don't think we quite understand it. I got some feedback when we had the mission 2019, where we were over at the food bank and putting food together and packets together for literally thousands of individuals. They didn't say it to me, but they say it to some of our members, and our members said, "Brother Gary, you know, some people think that what we're doing they don't have nothing to do with salvation, and I don't even know why we're doing it anyway." You don't know your Bible is what you don't know. I mean, I know I'm probably not talking about nobody in here tonight, but you don't understand, my brother, my sister. He says, if you do it, and especially the meals over there, they go to the least. Have you ever been over there? They have a place, a section in that food bank that individuals who are literally hungry, they can go in and get fresh food. And we played a part in organizing that, putting all that together in the name of the Lord, not in our name, in the God's name. That is God's work. Amen, somebody. I've heard individuals say that we're giving you salt on our billboard. In a little while, in a few days, we're going to be giving out turkey dinners. I know you're not in here. I know they said it probably at the 11 o'clock service. They say, you know, we're giving out turkey. Them people, I don't know why we're giving out turkeys. You don't understand God's work. See, the individuals that's getting the turkeys, and we're going to give them to some of our members that want them. It's opportunity. They see us letting our light shine. Individuals that you watch, people are going to eat those turkeys. They're going to feed their children and feed their family. And that is on our final exam, is what did we do for the least of them? And you don't want to help. Lord, have mercy. Yes, it's talking about spiritual. Yes, it is. But it's also talking. So you catch somebody who is really hungry. They can't hear what you're saying, no way. Amen, somebody. Yes, it's spiritual, but it is physical also. Listen to Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. I'm going to stand on this one a little bit too long. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 41. I got it in my Bible, but these words so little I can't hardly see them. Mark chapter 9. In verse 41, did I have the wrong scripture? Is that my scripture? Okay, I'm in the wrong Bible. Put it up there. There you go. Thank you, sir. Yeah, that's bigger. That's a lot bigger. For whoever gives you a cup of water, listen, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty. And he says, for whoever gives a cup of water, that's not metaphorical, that's literal, to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. You know what I think has happened? You know, some of us, I should have did this morning, because I know the wrong crowd is in here tonight. You know, some of us, we so blessed, we just out of touch. We out of touch. See, you got Brother Foster, you say you got chickens in every pot. Some of us have four refrigerators. We got one in the kitchen, and we got one in the garage. And in the garage, we also got a deep freezer sitting over there in the corner. And if you don't watch out, we got a refrigerator in our bedroom and food in all of them. And we don't understand what it means to be hungry. And so when it comes up, let's feed somebody. You don't even relate to that. You don't understand that God sees our heart. And notice that there's something else also with all of these. All of the that's on this list, they all pertain and relate to how we treat other people. Every last one of them. Now, that's distinguishable. And I say that because I don't think this list is necessarily exhausted, because God says the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your might. But notice what's not on the list. See, some of the stuff that we argue and fuss about is not, Jesus does not say it right here when he's saying the summation of all things. Yes, God wants us to love him. He wants us to worship him. But God never mentions anything of how we treat him, because he's saying it is. If you do what I say and you love people, it demonstrates that you love me. That's what he's saying. See, so God is not interested in us. He wants us to worship him, but he's not a God that just bow down and tell me that you love me. Bow your heads and tell me that you love me. Sing praises to me all day long, and we not doing nothing. God is not selfish. He wants us to treat people right. Amen. And he's going to judge us by these things. And so, Lord have mercy. I can say more about what's not on this list. He says, I'm just going to end at my proper time. He said, I was a stranger, and you invited me. Yeah. He said, I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Yeah, he talking about those who are on the right side. Those, he said, and we've given this lesson in the past on being hospitable to people. That's our doorway. That's our opportunity to talk to people. And I looked up the definition of stranger. I thought I knew what it was, and I said, this was just what I thought. A stranger is a person that who one does not know very well. That's who a stranger is. Or a person that we're not familiar with. We run across strangers all the time. We do. We run across strangers all the time. This is on the final. Strangers on our job, in our neighborhood, strangers at school, strangers that come to church, visit us at church all the time, don't they? People we don't know that well. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels, not without knowing and unawares. And God puts this, Jesus, he puts this on his list. He says, your attitude towards strangers. And so I'm looking at this and it's talking to me. It says, God says, Jesus says, you always have an eye for the stranger. Now this is the young folks, this is the old people, you know, and see, it's easy to tell a stranger. If you've been if you're at school and in your classroom and you've been in your classroom and a stranger, it's easy to tell who they are. It's easy to tell who they are. You know, somebody, I know everybody hadn't been here at the worship service. You don't know everybody, but if you don't know, I put it this way, the easiest way to tell a stranger, if you don't know who they are a stranger to you. And the scripture says that, you mean, girl, Gary, Jesus is concerned. I just ain't no talkative person. And I don't, you know, I'm leery of people. See, I know you, this is a dangerous world, but we don't need to be leery of everybody. Yeah, we got to be able to reach out to people and touch people and with love. And scripture uses this word, hospitality. And I was thinking about this one because I said, you know, well, this is kind of, you know, if you got, especially if you're female, if you're a male, and, you know, you don't want to be, you don't want to go overboard with it. But I don't think Christ is asking us to go overboard with it. But you know, it's like I love that we've devised a way to help our visitors feel a little bit more welcome here at the Fifth Ward. We ask them, you know, some people don't want to be able to put on the spot. They don't want to talk. And we have a hospitality room. We go over there and it's intimate. And they, you know, just how you doing? They meet one of the elders, meet the ministers, and, you know, and shake hands. And we've had so much good feedback from that. And individuals who love that we take the time to recognize the stranger. Yeah. And as small as you might think it is, I don't want to do that one, Brookie. I don't have the personality for that one. Let's stop making these feeble excuses about not opening our mouths. How you doing? I was on the plane yesterday, and I was coming back from the wake of Sister Bennett's son, and I was sitting in the seat . And I knew I was preaching this lesson. That's where the word of God will convict you. It'll make us act right if we obey the word of God. And you know, when you're tired, you know, you don't bother me, I'm not gonna bother you. But you know, if you're gonna be sitting beside somebody for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you the Christian, you the child of God, we don't know what they are. And you sitting beside them for 2 hours, and 2 hours go by, and you don't say nothing. Honestly, and I know I haven't always been here, but I believe we miss an opportunity. Yeah, this man was sitting, there was nobody in the seat between us, and I was sitting by the window, and he was sitting on this side. And so when I got in, because he was already sitting, I came across, and I'm tired. Oh, yes, I was tired. Just like, girl, I'm getting me to Houston. And so I reached across. I said, he didn't say anything to me. I said, how you doing? I'm Gary Smith. And I reached my hand. And it kind of startled him, because when I reached my hand, he kind of, you know, twitched a little bit. Now, he and I were not the same color, but does that matter? Church, does that matter? Yeah, that don't matter with God. What color the person is, and he shook my hand, but he never said his name, never said who he was. And I caught his drift. He had a book sitting on his lap. I caught his drift. But don't bother me, leave me alone. And so I sit there and I left him alone. But while I was sitting there, I was thinking, how can I say something to him to kind of break the ice and crack the door. You know what I mean? See, you know, this is one that's not going to happen on his own. You know it won't. And sometimes it's the first person who said, and you know what stopped me from trying to engage him? Because two people back behind me, they were going at it. When I say going at it, they were not going at it in a bad way. They were strangers. But they were talking, and he was like, yeah, I live in the country, and I have 6 grandkids. And she said, oh, really? Where do you live? And they just went on, and they were going on. And after a while, I was just, his nose and my ears were big, trying to hear everything they said. And I bring this up because, we didn't get another conversation. I didn't get a conversation with the man, but we did make eye contact. They said something funny, and I kind of giggled. I didn't giggle loud, but kind of giggled a look, and he kind of made a noise, and we both kind of shook our head. We made the connection, but then all of a sudden I heard on the radio, buckle your seatbelts. It's time for the plane to. So it's time for the plane to land. And I just mention that because to challenge us as children of God, especially those of us that's been in the church a long time, to stop letting these opportunities pass that we can let strangers in. I'm not moving nobody. The Bible didn't ask you to move nobody in your house. But some of our neighbors wave. If the mail, this is a good opportunity. I need to hear. But if you get the wrong mail in your mailbox, you know what most of us do? We put it back in the mailbox. Don't. Not my wife. Not Sister KB. She get the wrong mail. If it's to anyone about it on our street, she go, nah, say, yeah, we got you. They did it again. Put the mail in the box. And she, all of a sudden, she coming back, got hot tamales. And I'm like, hey, but where you get that? I got it from the neighbors. But I tell you what, but we're building the bond with individuals who are strangers. And after all, aren't we trying to win everybody to Christ? Don't we want everybody to be saved? Let me hasten to a close. He says this. He says, I was naked, and you, I was a stranger. He says, I was naked and you clothed. These are practical things, church. So brothers and sisters, when you are planning your activities for your calendars, don't you miss these. Don't plan everything that you pacified your little group. Yeah, we're going to have this. Yeah, we're going to have a whole lot of fun. No, we need to do things that are going to minister to other individuals, not ourselves. Now, we're going to build each other up. We're going to eat together. We're going to get to know each other. But we're trying to lead everybody to Christ at every opportunity. Here, I said I was naked. Listen to James chapter. That's why I want. These are things that God wants us to be doing. James chapter 2, verse 15. If your brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for your body, what use is that? So Brother Jesse Stewart, Brother Norval Young, the laboring that they, when they ministering to our benevolent, and we have these devotions on the last Wednesday of each month, and notice this, we are feeding folk, and then they pull out all of those clothes that for some people to come and get a piece of clothes. Church, that's God's work. That's God's work. Somebody, well, I can't find nothing to do. I can't find. And it doesn't necessarily all the time have to be done in the context of being at this church. You got clothes in your closet that you will never wear again. And somebody not only wants them, somebody needs them. Amen, somebody. See, these mothers around here with these small children, they're not going to be in these clothes anytime. Some of us got children, clothes for children. Get those clothes to somebody that can use them and wear them. And God sees everything that we are doing. He said, I was sick, and I could stay on this all day long. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. See, ministry leaders, visitation ought to be a part of all of our ministries at one time or another. Seeing somebody when they're down, when they're sick, when they're less fortunate. Now, everybody don't want you to visit them all the time, but there is always somebody that wants you to. You don't have to go prepare a sermon, prepare a whole lesson. Just go let somebody know that you're there and that you care. And let me give the whole church some advice on visitation. When you go visit somebody at the hospital, at their house, don't stay there all day long. Amen, somebody. Go to the hospital. How you doing? I'm just checking on you. Can I pray for you? And get on out of there. Amen. Folks sick, they need to get well. Yeah. I'm going to end with this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Paul told this to Timothy. He said, fight the good fight of faith. He say, fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold, lay hold of eternal life. These are eternal qualities. These activities relate to our eternal salvation, to which you were called and you've made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul simply states, he says, Timothy, he said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished the course and I've kept the faith. These are items that Jesus goes over with all those that's on the right side. That he separates, he puts them on the right side. He says, come to you, blessed of the Father. And he makes this statement to all of them, inherit the things that have been prepared for you. See, he said, you about to get to come to heaven. And he lists the things that they already had done before they got there, because this is something you can't catch up on once judgment day is. They already had done these things, and they were so naive that they were just doing them out the cast. Some of us in here fall right into that category. You say, but yeah, I just like doing good for people. You keep doing good for people. Nobody has to see it, because I promise you, God sees it. And what I say all the time, you don't have to be a preacher to go to heaven. You don't have to be out front. You don't have to be a song leader. Sometimes being those things keep you from going to heaven. Yeah. We just tell the truth about it. Just do God's will. Listen, none of these, all these things, all of us can do. He says, I was in prison and you visited. I'm not going to nobody's prison. Be careful. Be careful. You don't want to go. I don't want to go. I never want to go. But the Lord says, somebody need to go. Yeah. Yeah, somebody needs to go. All of these actions, they don't have anything to do. And so he tells them all of this. And he says, when you've done it to the least of them, you've done it to me. And then they get their reward. And I don't know if they sing when they get the reward, but I'm just thinking, this isn't me, Brother Gary. I think of the song, oh, happy day. Yeah, I don't know if they shouting. I tell you what. I don't know if they shouting. I'll tell you what. But if Jesus say, if I hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, I don't care about nobody else, but if I can talk, I'm going to be shouting. Thank you, Jesus. Forget, don't do all that. In there. I don't care what you say. Thank you, Lord. Yes, if I'm on that right side. I'm not hollering and screaming so those on the left can be mad. But when he gets to their left side, you know, the scripture says that will be weeping, gnashing of teeth. I remember when, well, I need to stop, but I'm telling you. I remember when, this is a long time ago, y'all. My dad, God bless my dad. I remember when my dad would be spanking my brothers and sisters. I call it a spanking, but I want to call it a whooping. But he'd be whooping them, and I'd be so terrified when he whooping one of them. And I'd be in the corner by this time, especially when I knew I was going to get it. I was in the line, and I'd start, Some of y'all did the same thing. Yeah, I'd be on the, My knees would be, my legs would be shaking, and some Anthony, when my daddy spanked Anthony didn't even cry. He just act like he just, you know, he do it for a while till his daddy break him down, and he finally let it out. And when Anthony started crying, I'm like, I don't know how it's gonna be, but I just do know this, church. You do know this. We don't want to be on the left side. And so let's get busy doing the will of God. It's not hard. It's not something that we can't do. You here tonight, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You come by faith believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's where it starts. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God knows when we're trying to seek him. You're here today and you're willing to repent of all your sins, to confess Christ, to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You will be added to the body of Christ. And the latter part of Revelation 2:10, he says, be faithful unto death and we'll get a crown. We'll get a crown of righteousness. You here, you need to come. If you have a prayer request, won't you come as we stand and sing Song of Invitation.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore.
Yes,
very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more.
But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me.
Now safe am I.
His love lifted me. Even me.
Love lifted me.
Even me.
When nothing else could help.
Love lifted me.